You are listening to the Punkish Podcast, episode 699.7, I think, or something like that. This is John G, features editor. I am here with one of my all-time favorite punk users, Sammy B. Sammy B, what's happening?
Hey, your favorite? Really? Like, why? Why would you do that to yourself?
Sam, you definitely are I can't say you are my absolute favorite because that's not fair to other people, you know, but you are definitely one of my favorites because you have strong opinions. You'll disagree with me, which I appreciate, but you won't always. Sometimes you agree with me. You've got a great perspective. You and I kind of have different tastes in music, you know, and actually music wise, you and I don't have very much common ground at all, Frank.
No, we have like almost nothing in common. Yeah. Which, besides Tegan and Sarah.
Sorry, besides Tegan and Sarah, which are great. I was in the con last week or 2 weeks ago. The con is so good, Sam. The con is so good.
Yes, it is. It's so, so damn good. And but you know what? I think that's like a pivotal moment for them where they started, like, you know, fucking around with other things, like, after that. And I love that, too. So I appreciate it all.
Sam, rank the Tegan and Sarah albums right now.
Oh, geez. You can't do that to me.
I'll name them, and then you can rank them. And then I will provide... Well, I'll provide my ranking, and then you can
provide
your ranking.
Yeah, you provide your ranking as I pull up their discography.
Here is the official Tegan and Sarah ranking. Best album, The Con. Second best album, I'm going to be a little controversial here. Heartthrob, which I like a lot. Third best album, So Jealous. Fourth best album, I'm going to be controversial again. Hey, I'm Just Like You, which I liked a lot. Fifth best album, now it kind of get a little bit more difficult. Fifth best album, Sainthood, which I liked. Sixth best album, Love You to Death, which I thought had promise, but just didn't really materialize. Seventh best album, Cry Baby. Eighth best album, If It Was You. Ninth, I'm up to nine, The Business of Art, 10, Under Feet Like Ours. That's the official ranking. And they, despite all the live releases they have, they still haven't put out a proper live album, which is very annoying because I saw them live on the Con tour, and I actually also saw them live on the Sainthood tour, I believe. And they were great, the Con especially, they were so awesome live. But they've got all these, they've got like acoustic live albums. They've got the weird live album called Get Along, where it's a full band, but they edited out the backing band, so it's just them, and you can faintly hear the backing band in the background, which is a really weird thing to do. They've got some cool live EPs, but no full-on live album, Sam.
Oh, boy.
What's your ranking?
Oh. Okay, so number one, The Con. Number two, definitely. Heartthrob. You know what? I'm not going to even number them anymore. Love You to Death. So Jealous. Sainthood. Let's see. What else is there?
Honestly, Heartthrob, like that one doesn't quite get the accolades. The other one, but Heartthrob is an awesome record.
Heartthrob is amazing. So I love it so much. Like, I definitely got into Tegan and Sarah around the Con era, and, like, you know, I guess, like, between the So Jealous and the Con era, because my Biffles loves them so much. But yeah, no, the Con is, like, definitely amazing. And I just, Heartthrob is, like, so you know me, I like dance music, I like pop music, I like a whole bunch of things. I also like metal. I also like hardcore. So, like, I don't really, like, I run a gamut of things, but Heartthrob, like, literally fits into, like, a very niche place of, like, loving indie, loving, like, dance music, and that's where that lives, you know?
Yeah.
I don't even know where I stopped. Yeah, so I think if anything, I'm just gonna stop there because everything else is a blur to me. In ranking, I think everything would just be like equally as good. I wasn't that much of a fan of Crybaby, but
yeah,
you know,
it wasn't great.
Yeah, it wasn't great, so maybe that would be last. But everything else, the four other ones, would just be in there somewhere. But yeah.
Last Tegan and question, Sarah question, because I know the listeners tune into the Punkish Podcast to hear about Tegan and Sarah discussion. Do you think it's over for Tegan and Sarah? Because frankly, Heartthrob was kind of a sleeper hit, and that like people dug it. And Tegan and Sarah are like, well, maybe we'll just become a full-on pop band. And then they put out Love You to Death, which was a full-on pop record. But the problem was it was the whole record is sad, whereas Heartthrob had some upbeat numbers, you know. And then after that, they put Hey, I'm Just Like You, which was all like super old songs re-recorded. And then they put out Crybaby on an independent label after firing or getting dropped from their management and leaving Warner Records. And so, you know, it feels like they're kind of maybe struggling is the right word. I don't know. Do you feel, and then also they were supposed to have some big documentary about them that I don't know if that ever came out or not, or like a story about
It
the people.
did, and I watched it, and it was fascinating.
But like nobody really talked about it. Like it didn't make really any hardly any splash,
Well,
you
I
know?
talked about it a lot with my friend because it was just so fascinating, and how they were able to pinpoint, I guess, the rise of Tegan and Sarah as a group, and how social media and the internet led to what transpired in almost someone stealing. Like, I think was it Tegan's? I think it was
Oh,
Tegan's identity was stolen in a
that's
way, right?
crazy.
And it was like bonkers to me because, like, we're living in the age of like the internet, like, we're on a podcast. Come on, that's as internet as it gets, right? And our minds are so set to like, oh, we need to make sure that like, our passwords are encrypted and, that people can't like, get into our stuff. But I'm like, yo, this one hacker back in the day was able to hack all of this unreleased stuff. Like almost like catfish all these people that to make them think that they were like Tegan and like all of the stuff. Meanwhile, Tegan di wasn't like really, I don't think she had like too much of a social media like thing. So yeah, I recommend everyone to watch this because it is just fascinating. Just to watch, even if you don't even care about the band.
Well, then maybe I will watch it. So anyway, but the question is, Sam, Tegan and Sarah, is the party over?
I don't think the party is over. Maybe they're hibernating because they released this great documentary that I watched too or paid attention too much into. But yeah, no, I don't see them being like, we're gonna let this stop me.
Sometimes it seems like they actively dislike each other. Do you ever get that vibe?
Well, they're sisters.
Yeah, but sisters are, well that but like sisters are supposed to be, especially like we had Janine on, I mean we had Nicole on last episode. Janine is a twin with her sister. No, Nicole's a twin with her sister Janine,
Yeah.
and they are like the like best friends ever. You know what I mean? Like they are like total ultimate pals, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think like John, do you have a sibling?
No.
Yeah, okay. So you're only child.
Well, not
I
real.
have.
Not. I'll tell you after. I'll tell you afterwards. Not
Oh,
really, but
okay.
yeah.
So I have siblings and and I have two sisters and sometimes when you grow up with people, you have a love-hate relationship with them, and sometimes they irritate the crap out of you, and sometimes you just wish that you never saw their face again. Sometimes you love them. So, I think every sibling, especially if they're working together, like, goes through these motions of like, I love you, I hate you, I need space, like things like that. Also, like, dealing with the personalities, because sometimes, you guys can work well together because you're like, in a working relationship, but like when it comes to like being a sibling, you're like just awful or something. Yeah, I think they definitely like they love each other, they're siblings, they have each other. I think siblings just get into spats sometimes, so maybe they just need a break from each other. I don't know. It doesn't seem like they hate each other. Like
True, true.
Oasis, the Gallagher brothers might hate each other.
Why do they hate each other again? I can never understand why they hate each other. Like, what did one do to the other or
No
something?
idea. I just think they're like,
Kind of
funny
whiny.
British people. So, yeah, I'm just shocked that Oasis is coming and touring the States.
Are you going?
Yes, we have tickets. It was a pain in the ass to get, but yes.
Like a champagne supernova in the sky. Someday
Yes.
you will find us up to do to do do. Anyway, Sam, you went to Singers Home Fest. How was it?
Oh my. So I was only able to go to one day, so I went to Saturday. Saturday's lineup was pretty much Speedy Ortiz, Tim House, let's see, Buzz Zimmer, Dave House, Bouncing Souls. There's more people in there, but I got stuck in traffic getting there. So I made it there for Buzz Zimmer. And they were great. So this is not my first time at Sing Us Home. I've gone one other time. This is Dave House's like recurring annual party, I guess, like festival party in a little island somewhere in near Philadelphia or in Philadelphia. I could never really tell because Philly's Philly to me. But yeah, no, it was great. There was really cool vibes. I saw a lot of friends. They had tons of vendors, so there was like tons of things to like see and eat. There was re-entry, so they really,
Nice
yeah.
noise,
So they
noise.
really encouraged you to go into Venice Island, I believe that's where it was. And like, support the local food stuff or go buy stuff. The entire area is really cute in Philly. I really love that area. I kind of like wondered if I
Is
lived
that
in Philly.
Manioc?
Yes, Manayunk, yeah. I really wondered if I
Okay,
lived
yeah.
in Philly, would I live there? Because it really felt like familiar to me. It's kind of artsy. There's breweries and stuff to look at and apparently good food. I did get myself some donuts because Federal Donuts is there, was a vendor there, and I love Federal Donuts, you guys. If you're ever in Philly, go to Federal Donuts. This is not, I was not paid to say this. But
But you should be.
yeah, I probably should be. But the issue was there was rain on the way. And they were kind of, the festival was kind of like pushing the set times for said peoples up a little bit so that they can try to accommodate to get in the show. Because, the weather, when it comes to like rain or shine events, you just never know what happens. Yeah, so they pushed it, Buzz Zimmer up, and they also pushed Dave House up a little bit. Dave actually played fantastic. They actually have recorded 20 songs for a full length soon. So he did say this at the festival, so I guess I can say this too, right? They want some we're somewhere in Vancouver recording these 20 songs. We'll see if 20 songs makes it to an album. If not, I'm sure it's going to be enough songs to make you want to buy it or listen to it over and over and over. So they did play like a lot of new stuff, which was nice. So I did get like a glimpse of that, yeah, oh, so Dave House did so Joe Gittleman was at the festival, and if you know Joe Gittleman, he's in a ska band, right? He did join Dave House in playing one very, 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 very popular song by Boss Tones, from what is it, the 90s? I forgot what it was called already.
Boston just sell out, isn't it?
No, not that one.
Or is that Real Big Fish?
I think, I'm not
I don't know.
sure.
My ska knowledge is not great.
Yeah. Well, anyways, they played a damn
Oh,
spa song.
the impression that I get.
Yes, that song. Yes. So that was played and it was amazing. I was screaming. So I'm sorry to whoever was in front of me, that probably recorded me screaming at them, but it is what it is at this point. Yeah, so by the time Bouncing Souls went on, there was something weird that happened. they literally played five songs, and then the rain and lightning hit, and they had to call it off. So Sam and her husband Chris left at that point, and got stuck in the middle of Philly for a flash flood.
Ew.
Yeah, so I am here because I survived. Literally, there was like rivers all over the streets. It was chaos. I don't know if there is someone to complain in Philly about maybe their sewer system. I don't know, because I was walking to the car and some of the hubcaps on the sewers were like coming off the road. Yeah, I stepped in a few puddles and the puddles ended up like on my shins. So
Ew.
I was like literally swimming by the end of the night.
Ew.
For a,
Ew.
I know I needed to sanitize myself that night and I had to take a 2-hour car ride back home.
Oof.
So John, I had fun. The end of the night was not fun.
Yeah.
At all, but I would have to say, sing us home, A plus. Maybe not do a, a festival in May, in the Northeast when weather is weird. Maybe move it to the summer with competing with everyone else. I don't
Yeah.
know. Just a thought. But there was also something other, another weird thing that happened, and I needed your input, John.
Do tell.
Someone was selling a bootleg Bouncing Souls, I guess, bootleg at the soundboard that night.
A shirt or a record?
A s cassette tape.
Wait, so who?
So a
My
random
brain is
person.
blanking ahead. You mean they had a stand where they were selling stuff, or like where was it for
There was
sale?
a guy with a sign that said bootleg Bouncing Souls cassette tape. You could buy sold here or something like that.
Was it like a
At
joke?
the
Like was it? Oh, I'm sorry. Go
No,
ahead.
because during between Dave House and Bouncing Souls, we were like hanging out, waiting for Souls to go on, and they made an announcement about it because I saw the guy with the sign and I was like,
Who made an announcement?
whoever was at the soundboard.
Wait, so the soundboard said if you want to buy a Bouncing Souls bootleg, you can go buy it now?
Yes? It was so bizarre.
That is bizarre. I've never heard anything like back in the day in the 70s and 80s, there was a whole business of cassette bootlegs in the parking lot. And that, like, let's say you go see ZZ Top or Van Halen, there'd be a guy in the parking lot that had like 30 Van Halen cassettes, bootlegs for sale of live shows and other bands too. Like, you might have, I don't know, Deep Purple or Black Sabbath, and you would buy cassettes from him. And they were hand dubbed, but they had kind of semi-pro printed wraparounds. But that's in the 70s and 80s. I've never heard of anything like that at a show ever. You know, did you get one?
No, I did not get one because I was running for my life away from the lightning and the rain. But I was like, what is going on? I was so confused.
That seems incredible. Like, see, and do you know if the band knew about it or not? Because that seems incredibly brazen, you know?
I would think that the band might have known because why would they even make an announcement? Or the festival might have known because why would they make an announcement about it? Like, I have so many questions because I was like, is this bootleg like of recordings from like past shows? Or is this like bootlegs of the five songs that they even played that night because it got cut off? Like I'm not even sure what to make of it. It was like even weirder because like the next day I go on, social media and someone was like, "Oh, I picked up this bootleg from Sing Us Home." And I'm like, "Wait, they exist?" 'Cause I was like absolutely sure that they didn't exist. I was like, "Oh no, no one's gonna buy that." No, someone bought it and I was like, "Oh, okay."
Sam, you probably remember about 10 years ago, there was this thing where you would go to a concert, and then literally right after the concert, you could buy a live CD of that concert, which was cool. But it doesn't sound like that's this because if a thunderstorm ended the show, they wouldn't have time to make them. You know what I mean?
It's exactly like it. I'm whoever's making these bootlegs, please email us at podcast@punksnews.com and please give me clarity because my brain is swirling from this.
So here's my take on this is if I might guess that the band knows about it and it's some sort of a gag or something because that seems incredibly brazen and it seems even more brazen for the festival to do that. Like, don't Bouncing Souls organ no, who organizes Sing Us Home? Is that
It's Steve House and crew.
okay. So this seems very brazen to do that at your festival. So maybe they were like in on the gag or something. But if they weren't in on the gag, then I think that guy should be smashed and bashed and sued into oblivion, which they're not going to do. Because it's one thing to bootleg a band like the Screamers or even like the Plagsmatics that is like over and done with and no one's really making money off of anymore, or didn't. But the Bouncing Souls are a working band that need money, that make money to exist, And so to bootleg them at their own thing seems incredibly lame. And I would hope that the festival, and actually, let's draw a parallel. I've been talking a lot about punk rock boring lately. I'm excited about it, but the vast majority of stuff at punk rock boring is very cool. One lame thing is though, there's vendors there, and vendors sell bootleg T-shirts of the bands that are playing, namely the Damned. Last time
Oh
Damned
my
played punk rock
God.
boring, there was official Damned shirts in the Damned merch booth, and then there was guys selling bootleg Damned shirts, and which is like. That's ve like the Damned are not ultra rich. I don't know how. I don't know if the Sam, you think the Damned are like doing really well or just doing okay? I don't know, honestly.
I think they're doing okay. I don't think they're doing like they're not making Foo Fighters money,
Right.
like,
Okay. Fair enough. So the Damned can use T-shirt money, right? And the fact of the matter is the Damned getting paid for T-shirt money means they're more likely to come play a show that I get to see, right? And so I thought it was very lame that punk rock bowling would allow, like punk rock bowling's got to know that there's dudes bootlegging T-shirts there. You know what I mean? Like you see someone with a black flag T-shirt, you're like, I'm pretty sure Greg Ginn didn't license because Greg Ginn doesn't license anything, But it's one thing to bootleg bands that aren't at the festival, but to bootleg like you would think the punk rock bowling people say, hey, listen, man. I know your deal, and you know your deal. I'm not gonna be the cops or anything, but be cool about it if you get what I'm saying, And meaning, don't bootleg bands that are playing at the festival. But they didn't do that, which frankly shocked me,
Well, I think it depends on like the size of the band. Like the bands that we listen to don't bootleg that crap.
Well,
Like,
yeah.
let the bands, have their money and whatever. But like, when you go to like a huge festival or like a huge concert and there's like scalpers outside and like when I saw Madonna, there's bootleggers all over Madison Square Garden. Like that's like a known thing, or when I saw Baby Metal, like there's people with like Baby Metal t-shirts and I'm like looking at them going, yeah, you're probably pay like charging the same amount of me buying an actual like official merch from inside. Just I don't have to wait online, but I guess it's just like a thing. Like I would not like this the bands I listen to from Sing Us Home or any of the bands that whatever, I try to do my due diligence and like making sure that my money goes back to them and not like a bootlegger, you
Yeah.
know? It's totally different if like someone is like making art inspired by. I think there's a different thing to that than just straight up bootlegging.
Yeah. No, I agree. But what I would add is, oh, what was I gonna add? I'm not sure what I was gonna add, Sam. Anyway, the point being is, it's weird when the festival turns a blind eye to that bullshit, because that is bullshit, you know, bootlegging, working bands, total bullshit. So yeah, so I'm very curious about this Bouncing Souls bootleg, you know. I'm very interested to see what becomes of that. That's very interesting, Sam. Very interesting. So
Yeah, my
yeah.
life gets interesting sometimes. I don't know what that means.
Your life is interesting, Sam. Indeed, indeed. I saw The Damned, I guess about a week ago. The Damned were awesome. It was Rat Sky Buddies back in the band, so it was more or less like the original Damned. I mean, because Brian James is dead now, so it was Rat Sky Buddies, Captain Sensible, Dave Vanian, and of course Paul Gray, who was on the Black Album, Strawberries, and some of the mid-period records. The gig was billed as playing the hits of the 80s, but really what it was is wink, wink, The Damned doing most of Machine Gun Etiquette and some Black Album and some Strawberries and some of the first record. And it was totally rad. They sounded great. And they just did a bunch of hits. They did like one new song, which was fine. Oh, but here, well, actually, here were a couple of weird things about the show, though, is during the show, so The Damned, cover Eloise, do a cover of Eloise, and they also do a cover of, Alone Again or By Love. And they did both those songs. Sam, there was like a bunch of 18 and 19-year-olds, and they like freaked out when The Damned played those songs. Like they didn't freak out during like Smash It Up or New Rose or Machine Gun Etiquette or Love Song. They freaked out for Alone Again or and Eloise. Like they were like freaking out. I'm like, why do all the young people like why is this the song for the young people? And the only thing I come up with is maybe it's on like TikTok or something. You know, like the young people are like freaking out over like, I wouldn't say Damned lesser songs, but definitely not like their big hits. The other thing was, Sam, sometimes I can be miserable is not the right word, but sometimes I can be very prickly. And so I'm standing next to like three or four people, young people, and one person kept yelling, "Willie, show his dick. Willie, show his dick," like the whole show. And I'm like, that's kind of not cool. Like, let's say it was a woman band, like women band. Like, if I was yelling, "Will she show her tits?" That'd be like real scumbag, right? You
Yeah.
know? And so, like it was weird. But I didn't even know what that phrase meant. They like kept, yeah. I mean, I know what it means in the literal context, but I have no idea what dissociating means with the damned. And then also, one of the young person, it was relatively packed. They did the most annoying, and I try not to let other people ruin my vibe, ruin my time, but they did this bizarre dance, Sam, and it was really annoying. And like I tried, like it was so packed I kind of couldn't move, you know. They did this dance where they kind of, I guess, got in a javelin thrower's pose, like one leg forward, one leg back,
Yeah,
and
very
then they,
yoga-y.
right, exactly, yes. And then they would like shift their shoulders left and forward and backwards. And like, let's say you shift your left arm, your left shoulder forward, they would reach out with the left arm like they were grabbing an orange from a tree and pulling it back, and then shifting the right arm forward like they were grabbing an orange from a tree and pulling it back, like repeat. And they were kind of like knocking into me and stuff. And I'm like, this is obnoxious. I don't know, but it was like a weird scene for the young people. The young people were not responding to the classics; they were responding to the deep cuts, and they kept
Wait,
yelling like,
but were they doing, were they all doing that same dance?
one person was doing that dance, the other three were kind of, and there was lots of young people, and they all like, and I don't just mean these three or four young people, all the young people freaked out for Alone Again or and Eloise. Like, they all the young people did. The four annoying
Interesting.
people next to me, there was the orange picker, and the other ones were being annoying but not as annoying, you know. It was like the reason I wasn't even annoyed that they were like kind of bumping into me. I was annoyed that it was like so distracting and so odd. It was like a really odd dance, you know?
I love how you called this person the orange picker.
It was weird,
It's like
man.
amazing. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't think that's a TikTok thing, but then again, I took myself off TikTok because it was just too young and hip for me. My old brain couldn't deal with it. Yeah, no, it's very weird because like I too went to a young person show. I went to Slide Away, and there was a lot of strange things that happened there as well.
Well, Sam, let me say one thing, and then you can talk about Slideway and give me a perspective on this. You know, I always
Yeah.
talk about seeing like Slayer in the 90s when it was truly a dangerous place, and other shows kind of like that, you know. And so when I was 18 and 17 and 19 going to shows, I would not dream of at Slayer or anything like that, like dream of doing the orange picker dance and like banging into people and yelling the same, because you literally might get your ass kicked. Like if you're that obnoxious, you might get your ass kicked and you might get beat down, like for real, you know. And I noticed, Sam, and maybe this is because it's me being a curmudgeon, I noticed that a lot of the young people are super obnoxious in that way, and that they really have no fear of being obnoxious and annoying the wrong person, and therefore they act obnoxious. Like the other example is when I went and saw Large Aunt Grace, the band. The show was real good. The crowd was probably the most obnoxious crowd I've been in 5 years. Like I could like instead of like when you're walking through the crowd, instead of kind of like, you know, maneuvering your way around and walking around people, they would just walk up to you and say, "Excuse me," and like try to walk through you instead of kind of like shimmying around. And I know that, Sam, back in 1997, if I was at Slayer and I went up to some neo-Nazi skinhead and went, "Excuse me," I'd be walking home with my teeth in my hands. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah, well,
and so the point, oh, go ahead, Sam, go ahead and react. I'm sorry.
I do think that, like, you know, a lot of shows are getting a lot more younger folks, and it depends on what shows we're talking about because some shows are bigger than other shows. Like, you know, we're so used to some kind of like weird etiquette because, you know, I've been going to shows since I was 15, and I'm like, you know, close to 40 now. I'm old. So like, you know, but I go to a lot of shows and I go to a varying like levels of shows. So I'll go to like shows that are 100 cap. I'll go to shows that are, you know, a couple thousand. I'll go to like, you know, Madison Square Garden, like, you know, levels type of things. So like I do find that the normal people that I go to like shows with, you know, like small shows with, we're more of a community, so we're not going to be as annoying. Or if we are annoying, it's probably because you're drunk. And we're just like, oh, that person's drunk. Okay, we'll take care of them, you know?
Oh,
But like,
actually, and Sam, I got something to add on to, go ahead. I got something else to add on to that, but go ahead. Go ahead.
yeah, but like, you know, when you're going to like, you know, shows that's like, you know, the thousands of people, like, you know, a lot of the people going to these shows don't go to shows a lot and may not have show etiquette. So they're like really can be really annoying, you know, the adults. The kids are like, I've been kind of like saying to myself internally, the kids don't know any better yet. So they're just like, you know, being obnoxious because they're really excited. They're excitable bunch of people, right? So like it's you kind of have to have like an older person show you the way. Like, you know, don't wear the t-shirt that you just bought at the concert like right away. Like, we know you're a fan of somebody that's playing, but we don't need to physically see it right now. You know, like things like that.
See, I don't mind people wearing shirts. I actually find that kind of amusing or even cute. You know what I mean? I don't mind that. But what I said, I never had an older person show me the way, Sam. What I had show me the way was drunk rednecks beating the shit out of some asshole in the pit in Slayer. That's what showed me the way.
Well, that's still adults showing you the way and you going, I don't want to be that.
True. Sam, let's play a round of was John an asshole here. So after the Damned, I'm outside handing out flyers for Punk New Summer Soirée, the Dwarves, Schoolie D, Lips of Coal, the Noid, and Pink Soap. I'm handing out flyers, right? And this big dude, I'm talking 6 foot three, probably 300 pounds, comes stumbling out of the venue, just like literally totally stumbling, hits a mailbox, crashes to the ground. The dude is ultra wasted, not even drunk, ultra wasted. Like, he doesn't even know what state he's in, ultra wasted, right? And so,
and not Pennsylvania, okay.
right. So he's like writhing around on the ground like a totally drunk person does, you know. And I actually had this. I talked about this on the Punk News podcast like 2 years ago. Is I had this happen one at the time. Is I'm looking down at the guy, and this is what I'm not literally thinking this, but I'm subconsciously thinking this. I'm like, good, you should suffer for your foolishness. Maybe this will teach you not to get that drunk next time. You should suffer and bear punishment for your bad behavior. Like, I'm watching him, you know, and people are like trying to help him stand up. And this girl comes up to me. Well, I should say woman. This woman comes up to me and she says, "You look strong. Help him get up." And I'm thinking, I'm trying to hand out flyers. Like, his problem is not my problem. It'd be one thing if something just randomly bad happened to him. Like, maybe he stepped in a pothole and missed it and broke his leg, or got hit by a car or a bicycle. But he chose to act poorly and he's suffering because of it. Why should I help him to my detriment? You know what I mean? And so the woman got mad at me for not helping him, but I'm like, I'm trying to hand out flyers. Sam, was I the asshole? Should I have helped out the drunk guy? Because, no, I shouldn't say everybody, but a lot of people have a little bit too much once in a while. And as a community, we should help people out. Or is John right? Survival of the fittest. Let the knuckleheads suffer for the knucklehead dumb.
So I'm kind of with you in not helping the guy. And this is coming from a person that lives in New York City with crazy people everywhere she goes. only because, yes, said guy might be super inebriated, but if, like, another person comes up to said person that they don't know, they might actually get irate and start to attack you. So, unfortunately, a lot of times where I see inebriated people, because I used to live in Chinatown, New York, and there would be a weird nightclub or what they would call a health club. I don't know how healthy it is if people are puking in front of my window.
Are these like college kids? Like who are the people getting drunk in China? I don't know the scene. Like, what's the scene?
The scene is, it's Chinatown, and for some strange reason, there is a health club, I have air quotes happening right now, you can't see it. It's literally just a club, like a dance party club, there's no other clubs nearby, so it's super quiet usually, mm-hmm. And all I would hear at 3 in the morning is barfing sounds and puke from my fifth floor walk up.
So is this like young people or like older people? Like, who are these people getting drunk?
They're like varying range. It depends on the day. It depends on whatever. Sometimes they're 20, sometimes they're 30, sometimes they're 40, like 40-year-olds. Like, mm-hmm. That place was strange. I'm just saying. Yeah. I just didn't understand it. And I was like 20 at the time, so I was like, what the heck is happening? Me, 20-year-old Sam, wanted to go to bed and not party like them. So, there's that. Yeah, no, I'm with you. I don't want to get hit. I don't want to face any kind of negative repercussions just trying to be nice because you don't know the person. I would go and try to find a person that might know said drunk person out in the front. Like, maybe go inside the venue and yell, "Hey, do you have a really pissed drunk friend that you need to help out?" Because a lot of the times when you're drunk, I've never been drunk, because I'm that fun, right?
You've never been drunk ever. You've never been drunk ever, Sam.
No, I've never been drunk where I'm, like, puking in a toilet.
I've only been drunk once during rugby initiation in college. I was drunk once.
John, what? Rugby?
I played rugby for 8 years. I played 4 years in high school and 4 years in college.
Oh, so you're a jock?
Not, no, actually, I'm totally not a jock, but somehow I played rugby for 8 years and I'm definitely not a jock, you know?
Well, I think the listeners just gained more information about you. But yeah, no, I wouldn't help said person, and I don't think you're a bad person for it. It's called self-preservation, I guess.
I just don't understand. Like, I definitely think you should help out someone that had something bad happen to them through no fault of their own. But I don't understand this mindset that if someone chooses to get drunk and bad things happen to them, and I don't mean like dosed, I mean, and well, I'm getting in a weird territory there.
Well,
If a man decides to get drunk and then falls down, I don't think you should. I don't feel if you want to help him, fine. But I don't feel you have any duty to help him out whatsoever,
yeah,
you know?
you have to want to do things, right? You have to want to do that. And my thing is, like, why didn't she help him?
Because he
You
was,
know?
honestly, the answer is because he was too big to lift up for her.
Which
That's
is,
why.
you don't have to lift him up if he's on the sidewalk. Is he
Well,
like,
that's my other thought is if he's that drunk, just let him sit there because he's way too drunk to
exactly.
walk, you know?
Like, have you? I guess this person has never gone to like Japan, because literally in Japan, there's like people party all the time, like after work, and they're just laying in the sidewalk. And you know, the Japanese, what they do is they'll go into the Kobinis and go get that person water. They don't even know the person, but they'll just buy them water and leave it next to them, so when they do revive themselves from their drunken haze, they can at least hydrate.
Don't in Japan they'll go and party on like a Tuesday to like 4 a.m. like sleep in the street and then go to work the next morning.
Yeah, I've seen that in like real life. Like, it's
How do you
crazy.
do that? How do you do that?
It's just like, I honestly don't even know. Like, it's almost like they work so hard and then they play even harder out there with some people. Because whenever I've gone to Japan twice, I love Japan so much, but it's so far away. I do recommend anyone that wants to go to Japan, they should just do it. Yeah, no, I've seen it with my own eyes. I will go back to my hotel at like, let's say 11 o'clock at their time at night, and I would literally see people passed out with bottles of water or whatever. Or their friends are holding them outside. Like, you know, it's you could be passed out outside and be totally fine. Like, it's safe like that for the most part. And then the next morning, I'll like wake up and like go outside, and same said person might be on the ground still, or the bottle of water still there. Like, you know, there is like remnants of that. It's just culture out there. It's interesting.
Well, I guess Japan is more of a collective society that they're looking out for each other while John is spitting and scoffing on you as you're on the ground drunk. Say, suffer, you fool, suffer. And speaking of suffering, I saw Napalm Death. Say, John, why are you suffering? Because Napalm Death has the song You Suffer But Why, and it's a 1 second song. It's Napalm Death, the Melvins, Weed Eater, and Dark Sky Burial. I'll just go through this very briefly. Dark Sky Burial is Napalm Death's Shane Embree, except for Shane was sick and wasn't there, so it was two other guys from Napalm Death doing Shane's solo performance, which was kind of interesting. It was actually kind of cool. It was a noise recording. I was halfway between Throbbing Gristle and Psychic TV, and so it was pretty cool to see. Weed Eater was next. You know, I'm not really a huge Weed Eater fan, but I don't know what it was. Is I really dig Weed Eater set. Like, you know, it's all the songs are kind of samey, but it's stoner metal with growling over the top, and I really dug it. Next up was Melvins in their four-piece formation, which is Buzz on guitar, Steve McDonald on bass, Dale on drums, and Cody on drums. Those are the two drum incarnation. And Sam, I've seen Melvins, I think, about 25 times. It was literally one of the best times I've ever seen them. It was so amazing. Like, it was so good. They came out. I feel as though Melvins are kind of one of those bands where even if they're friends with Napalm Death and Weed Eater, but I think they probably wouldn't say this out loud, but if they're playing with a bunch of other cool bands, they come to win. You know what I mean? And they just were awesome. Buzz was like in top form. Steve is a card. Like he does all these like kiss moves. Like he jumps up and he does high kicks and stuff. And Dale and Cody as two drummers was so awesome. Like I saw the Melvins last year at Brooklyn Bowl with Boris. And honestly, it was cool. For whatever reason, I enjoy it, but I wasn't like blown out of my skull. I was blown out of my skull at this set. Like it was just hard, fast, loud, crunching, very Melvins-y. And the Melvins are just like one of the best bands. I mean, one of the best bands ever. They were so insanely good. After that was Napalm Death, but it was kind of an odd set because Shane isn't in the band because he was sick. But they played a bunch of hits. They played Nazi Punks, of course, which was awesome. And Napalm Death was also super cool. So that tour still has like 2 more months left. So it's called the Imperial Death March Tour or something. So if you get a chance to see Melvins and Napalm Death, definitely go. It was super rad. It was super rad. I'm trying to think if anything weird happened. I took my cousin, my young cousin who's 17. He had a good – I felt real cool.
Oh, that's so cute.
For whatever reason, like, I ran into, like, 7 people that I know there, both working and at the show. I saw Greg Daly there. Of course, Greg Daly, the tour manager to the stars, including Napalm Death and Mike Campbell and a bunch of Subhumans and a bunch of other bands. And so my cousin's like, do you know everybody? I'm like, I'm kind of a big deal. So that was cool.
That happens to me sometimes. I'll bring like my sister or like a friend that doesn't go to like shows all the time, and they're just like, I'll see a whole bunch of people and they're like, do you just like, is everyone your friend? And I'm like, no, I know nobody. It just so happens that these people ended up here too.
Indeed. So it was rad and it was cool. Sam, we've already been rapping an hour. We haven't hit any news at all. Do you want to hit a little bit of news, or what do you want to do?
Yeah, whatever. I think Riot Fest is happening, right?
Yeah. Are you excited or you're not excited? I think people were generally excited for this one.
No, I am definitely excited. I'm not going because it's September and Sam has something called work that she needs to do in September.
Work,
so Sam
what's
can't
that?
Be there. Huh?
What's that,
work?
Sam?
What? Well, you know, work does entail us gossiping at the hovercraft office next to the cooler or locking you in with the hovercraft. So it is what it is. That's usually me and Em's ploy for you. But yeah, no, this lineup looks real, real cool. Like, if I could go, I would. Because Blink-182 and freaking Weezer and Green Day is playing. Like, come on. That just, like, literally screams me in high school. Like, what is going on? Also, they have the Sex Pistols, Jack White, Idols, Alkaline Trio.
Is that the Sex Pistols, Sam? Is that the
Sex
Pistols?
It is not the Sex Pistols as
Agreed.
We know it. Yes.
Agreed.
It is the Frank Carter Sex Pistols, I guess, right? Isn't M into that? Yeah, I think she is.
M's way into Sex Pistols, and she's way into Frank Carter Sex. She's into both.
Yeah, so, maybe we can get her to cross the border and come to Chicago. That's, you know, if she didn't do anything bad to bar her from the border. Mm-hmm. Anyways, yeah, if I was to go, I would go see Alkaline Trio, Jawbreaker, Bad Religion, because I love them so much. I think Sam I Am's also playing, because I really love them, and Citizen is also playing. So yeah, this is definitely, like, the lineup that I would want to go. I don't know. Yeah, it's just sad. I don't have infinite time off or infinite money to do all of the things because Punk News doesn't pay me enough.
Or anything.
Exactly. Anything.
Sam, I still think people don't realize that Punk News doesn't pay anyone anything. I feel like people still don't understand that concept. You know what I mean?
Yes, we work for Punk News out of the sheer kindness of our hearts and because we like to torture all of you guys with our lovely banter and news stories. Also, the Bouncing Souls is playing. Come on!
I gotta say, Sam, a lot of really cool shows a lot of really cool shows this summer. A lot of really cool ones. Big, I mean, I'm going to a bunch of smaller shows too. Actually, I'm probably going to see LA Witch on Friday or Saturday, I think it's LA Witch. But I've got the Dwarf Show coming up July 31 in Philly. I got Men at Work literally the next day. I've got, let's see what else I've got. I've got David Lee Roth. I've got Modern English. I've got Colleen Green. I've got something called, let's see here. I've got Billy Idol. I've got Alice Cooper, Slayer. It's kind of a crazy summer, Sam. Kind of a crazy summer.
Yeah, it's my pocketbook is hemorrhaging money because it's so crazy. Like,
Yeah, and a lot of cool records. Like, I've just been getting hit left and right with cool records I quote have to get. It's been a rough couple of months, Sam, I gotta say, you
yeah,
know?
it's really, really, really bad. I didn't expect a lot of bands to be putting things out, and it doesn't seem like they're like, in the beginning of 2025, there was really like only like two albums that I was expecting to come out. And then like we're almost like we're in May. And then now it's like the docket is like already there. 'Cause like this week I'm seeing Japanese Breakfast, which she sold out like too many dates at Brooklyn Paramount. I'm also seeing Super Heaven. They came out with an album this year. I'm gonna see. And then it begins literally my birthday week. So I did buy stupid expensive tickets to go see Turnstile Under a Bridge in Brooklyn. Yeah, stupid expensive. John, guess how much one ticket was to go see Turnstile?
Wow. I don't want to guess too crazy because, I mean, if you say to me, John, what's the ticket to Turnstile cost? I would guess like $40, $50. Sam, I'm going to guess 150.
It was like 100, I think 20, was it 120 or something like that? 100, around there, for one ticket to general admissions
That's
to
it's.
a skate park like thing underneath the Kosciuszko Bridge.
It is crazy. Like, honestly, a skate park show under a bridge should be free, frankly. I mean, that's a punk show, you know? It's crazy how huge Turnstile. Like, Turnstile is like a major band. That's crazy.
Yeah, it is nuts. I was like, I don't think I would have splurged on that to go see them, but it is my birthday week, so I was like, YOLO, because I still subscribe to that acronym. Why not? Plus, the other thing is the last time I saw Turnstile was with Blink 182. So I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, no, I really hope it. I have no expectations for the show, by the way, being that it was that expensive and it's like underneath a bridge in New York. It seems like they have this entire like press docket aligned because they have this like mini movie or something coming out on the New York Film Festival, I think, soon, very soon. I think this week or something, or around the time that they're playing New York. So that's kind of interesting because I'm kind of wondering what that is, if it's like kind of like an art piece with their music. It might actually be, which actually might be really cool, because they did re release a couple music videos and, maybe the music videos are included in this art piece. I don't know. I'm just speculating. I haven't really seen anything yet.
Sam, what do you think I paid for front row David Lee Roth tickets in Atlantic City?
In 2025?
Yes.
Because, inflation is real.
But also, David Lee Roth, not quite as heralded as he once was as well. So factor that in as well. 120.
$300. Wow, that is so much cheaper than some K-pop shows.
Well, listen, all the young kids are not going to see David. Me and a bunch of dorky old dudes are going to see David Lee Roth and pretend it's 1984, you know? Sam, let's just hit some quick stories. Green Day, they're putting out a Slurpee at 7-Eleven. They already put out coffee there, but the Slurpee is called Kerplunk. Sam, is this an enraging and how dare you, Green Day, be so corporate? Or is it get over it, man? It's just a Slurpee. It's Green Day. They're doing their thing. Don't worry about it. What's the correct stance here?
The thing they already okay, so one of the guys in Green Day has a coffee company, right? So it was smart of them to get the coffee out to a provider that can kind of help market said coffee, right? So I guess collaboration worked out pretty well because now they have this like freaking green. I think it's green, yeah, a Slurpee. I like Slurpees, but I find Slurpees literally like too sugary.
Indeed.
And I, because I'm old, or cannot have too much sugar. So I need someone out there to tell me whether or not I need to try this thing. So please email us and let us know. Because I don't think I'm going to try it. Plus, I'm also very like specific about like the flavors that I like. So I kind of want to know what it tastes like. Like, because it's like electric green, like, is this what Slimer tastes like? If Slimer from, a Ghostbuster turned into a Slurpee? Like, that's what I'm picturing, at least. Maybe I'm just insane. I don't know.
So the same take is no one should get upset over Green Day Slurpee because there's bigger problems in the world. That's the same take.
Yeah, I think so.
Fair enough. Yeah, I'm not too upset. I mean, honestly, like it's easy to bash on Green Day, and I'm not really a fan, but like I said, I'm not a hater. But they actually do a lot of cool stuff behind the scenes. And so the fact of the matter is, as far as rock stars go, I'll put it this way. I know a lot of bands that are one fifth the size of Green Day, and they're way shittier with their fame than Green Day is. So, if they want to sell some Slurpees, there's worse things you can do, there's worse things you can do than sell Slurpees,
I would have to say the marketing on this is like amazing.
Why do you say that?
Literally, it's called Kerplunk. That's like, isn't that like one of Green Day's albums?
Yeah,
And the sick bunny is on it.
I saw the cup that you get with it, and it did actually look kind of cool. I'm not gonna buy it because I'm not a Green Day fan, but if it was like Gwar or if it was like the Melvins, I definitely would run out and buy one. So,
Well, I would think if it was war, it should be electric red and it should be like some wacky fruit flavor.
I would say if it was Gwar, it should be a white Slurpee, and we're gonna go on to the next topic. Propagandhi has canceled all USA shows, Sam, and that they just released a record. They said that due to circumstances beyond our control, we are unable to play USA, blah, blah, blah. Sam, do you think this was because they had visa issues, or do you think it's because they're so angry at America they don't want to play USA? Similarly, Punk Rock Bowling was making a big deal out of this band Baboon Show and a couple other bands playing. Those bands can't play anymore because they couldn't get visas. So do you think Propaganda is a visa thing, or do you think it's kind of a political statement? And I gotta say, well, I would be political here, but Sam's going to leave the country, so Sam has asked me to not be that political for the time being until she gets back. Sam, what's your take?
Yeah, I would like to come back to the country so that I could talk to all of y'all's every week, maybe. So I do think that this is probably a visa issue. I do think Propagandhi is a pretty well-known band, and it's kind of undeniable that if one of these members tries to cross the border with a whole bunch of guitars and equipment, right? And just say they're here for a holiday, it kind of seems a little suspect. So I really think that they're here, they have to get a visa.
Yeah, for bands, propaganda size, definitely, definitely.
Yeah, exactly. Propagandhi's lyrics have been very explicit about a lot of things. One of which they have an entire song about effing the border. So I do think that this has everything to do with their safety. and trying to come into the States and potentially not being able to, or not being able to do anything, really. I think the political climate is a little gray and hairy, so it is what it is. It's very unfortunate that they cannot tour on this album yet, because I do think that they should, and I love Propagandhi, so I love seeing Propagandhi whenever they come around. I guess I'm just gonna have to travel some more, maybe cross the border into Canada, and hopefully they let me back in to see them in the future. Yeah, it's this sucks because I think this is definitely not the first time we've dealt with this, because wasn't there another band that flew to LA from England?
It was you quite sad. UK subs were playing their
Yeah.
final USA show, and it was they couldn't get in. So some
Exactly.
of them got in, but not all of them. That was kind of a. It's like, man, the UK subs. Come on, man, let the UK subs in. What are
I
you doing?
know. Like, but I do think this is not going to be the end of this for now. I think this is gonna continue to happen. What's gonna suck is we do have festivals like the Fest, and that does get international bands quite often. Like, every year there's tons of international bands that goes there. I don't know what that's gonna look like for them. I think we just gonna have to, like, wait things out and see what happens. At least for the Fest, I think within the next couple of months, or weeks actually, we might actually find out like who can actually come and not, because usually when you get visas, you have to do it like, a month or so ahead of when you go there. Yeah, it's this entire situation sucks for me, at least, because I like to travel. And it just sucks.
Yeah, that does suck. It does. Let's just do a real quick one here. Circle Jerks are doing a 45 years of group sex tour with Negative Approach opening. That's in September and October. Sam, Circle Jerks basically play all of group sex every time they play anyways. Do you think you're going to play group sex all the way through? And is that something interesting, or are they just kind of looking for an angle? Which is, I mean, Circle Jerks are awesome live. They said they're working on a new album. So I don't know that they need a new angle, but maybe they do, you know.
No, like I've seen Circle Jerks, I think, once when they came around recently, and yeah, they do play a lot of group sex. I don't know if, like, there's a lot of bands out there that like will do anniversary tours of things and like omit songs. So I do think that Circle Jerks would be one of those bands that would be like, oops, we forgot to play this one song, because they don't want to anymore or they hate it. I do think that, like, sometimes you produce an album, like, not produce, but like you make an album. You love it at that time, but like, let's say 45 years later, you might not love it like that, or love certain songs, or it's like not relevant to you anymore. So I would think that they're gonna play most of group sex. I don't know if they're gonna play all of it, but it seems fun that they're playing with Negative Approach. I feel like I've seen them together before.
Oh,
Has
they've literally done between 6 to 10 tours with Negative Approach. Like, it's kind of like the team up. There was a bunch of Descendants, Circle Jerks, Negative Approach
Yeah, that's
tours.
what I saw. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it'd be cool to see them do a lot all the way through. I would definitely go see it. I hope they put out a live album because they sound fantastic right now. So I'd love to hear Circle Jerks live reunion record. Come on, fellas, let's put it on out. Second to last thing, real quick. We talked about this last week, I think. Did we talk about the Rock Hall last week, Sam? I think we did.
Yes.
Okay, so we'll skip that. Let's talk about Black Flag real quick. Black Flag is back. It's Greg Ginn and three people that no one's ever heard of. David Rodriguez, the bassist, might be the same guy from Casualties. The new singer is a guy called Max Zanelli, and the drummer is a guy called Bryce Weston. Sam, first of all, who's more of a disgrace? Dead Kennedys 2025 or Black Flag 2025?
I have no opinion on that
How do you
whatsoever.
have no opinion on that?
I just don't. Like, I don't really listen to Black Flag or any of that. Like, I'm listening to other weird things. I do think that all of this scandal of who actually owns Black Flag thing is crazy. Did we see Flag? I think we might have seen Flag, and they were really good, but.
Yeah, Flag's awesome. That Flag, of course, is Keith Morris, Chuck Tikowski, Stephen Egerton, Bill Stevenson, and Descazina. And I will be seeing them in about 2 weeks at Punk Rock Bowling, Sam. What do you think of that?
I think that's cool, and you should live it up.
I should. I will.
But I do think that it's like it's crazy that there's like these bands cause that just exist, but they're not like they're not the same. There's just like too much man beef happening.
Man beef.
Yeah, like I don't know how to else put it. Like it's just like and it's all like legal things, right? Like who actually owns like Black Flag?
I'll
Like
tell you right now, because they came to a settlement a few years ago, Greg Ginn owns Black Flag. Flag can tour as Flag. And I know a little bit more than that, but I can't remember if it's public or not. But so yeah. So Greg Ginn owns Black Flag now.
well, then he could do whatever he wants with it in his backing band.
Well, here's the answer. Black Flag is more disgraceful than Dead Kennedys. Even though Dead Kennedys certainly is not Dead Kennedys without Jello. Live, they're okay. Black Flag 2025 live is terrible because, and also it's a very toxic relationship. Everyone in Black Flag gets run through the ringer and fired or quit. So I can only imagine what the people that are now joining Black Flag, like, have you not followed the last 40 years of this band? Every single person is left on band, let's do it this way, Sam. I'm gonna run through this, and then we'll wrap up the show. So give me a second here. I'm gonna pull this up. We're gonna do this, Sam. Here we go.
Are we looking at the
I'm pulling up the Black Flag Wikipedia, and I'm going to
Wikipedia
describe how each member has left Black Flag. And if you get bored, Sam, here we go. Here we go. All right. There's a lot of members of Black Flag, Sam. A lot of members. Okay, here we go. Actually, I'm going to skip some of the ones that were in the band for like a minute and do the main ones. Ron Reyes, fired from the band and called a child molester on the record that he sings on, rehired at the reunion, fired again on stage and treated like trash. Henry Rollins, treated like trash the entire thing, was essentially fired from Black Flag by Greg Ginn saying he was quitting. Kira Rosler, fired from the band after pretty much devoting 3 years to them. Anthony Martinez and Sal Rivola, fired from the band. Keith Morris quit the band because all they wanted to do, because they treated him like trash, and they credit him as Johnny Bob Goldworth or something, which could be interpreted as anti-Semitic. Chuck Tikowski, fired from the band behind his back. Bill Stevenson, fired from the band behind his back. Mike Vallely, quit or fired from the band after massive arguments with the band. Greg Moore, fired from the band. Dave Klein, fired from the band. Brendan Pertzon, fired from the band. And there's actually a whole bunch of other people. I don't even know who these people are in the band. So literally every single person that has left Black Flag has left on bad terms. Sam, what are these people thinking that are in the joining the band now?
Either one, it's not gonna happen to me.
If it did happen to like the last like 25 people.
Yeah, or two, I'm in it for the ride, just so that I could play on stage, for a little bit and then start another project. Yeah, or maybe they're just too young and just have no idea how crazy this band is. I don't know. Yeah, no, that's bad. That's really, really, really bad. You literally probably just like named like 10 people, and I'm sure there's way more than
There's
that.
about 15 more. Like I forgot. Like there was people in the band for like 3 minutes.
Yeah,
Like
no,
even
that's
Raymond Pettibon was the band. Raymond Pettibon, the artist of Black Flag, of course, feels totally ripped off by Greg and his brother, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, man.
And I love Pettibon.
Pettibon's awesome. It's a bad scene. Sam, last question. Well, actually, you would not go see Black Flag. Would I go see Black Flag 2025? Only if it was free and I had nothing else to do.
You'll go wait in line for free.
If I have to wait in line, I'm not going. I'll go in if there's no line to get in for free.
Well, you know, there's just lines for everything now. So just assume there's a line.
Well, there you have it. Sam, anything else we should talk about? Anything else you want to cover? And we got to start thinking about episode 700, which is probably going to be in about 3 or 4 weeks. Actually, maybe more, because we're not. I'm not even going to think about it until I get back from Vegas. So it's probably going to be like 5 or 6 weeks till episode 700.
Yeah, I think we need to go crazy with 700. I think we need fireworks. I think maybe we need some Kerplunk slushies. Yeah, I don't know. We've been brainstorming, you guys, and it might actually be really, really crazy.
Sam, last question. Saturday, should I go see L.A. Witch or Slaughterhouse? I might be able to make both, frankly.
If you could do both, because YOLO. I would say go see L.A.
Sam,
Witch.
Sam, good choice. I probably will. Sam, I want you to say YOLO as much as possible going forward. I love it. I love it.
YOLO. YOLO. YOLO.